have it, get ready.
Thanks, God. Cool.
Did you want to pray? I can pray.
Lord, we just thank you for Alex. Lord, I thank you for his love for you. I thank you that you've put your spirit in him, Lord. And I just pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive the message that you have given him, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless this time, and I thank you that you are here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Alex.
All right, how's everybody going? Hey, Kate. Hey, Rich. How are you guys going? All right, cool. Hello, everyone else. Yeah, so my name's Alex, and I am very excited about speaking today. Probably my favourite day of the year. There's Good Friday, there's Christmas. Easter though, you know. Good Friday, they call it Good Friday. But then you've got Sunday, which is just called Easter. I reckon it should be like Great Sunday. You know, it's risen, it's an exciting time. I get pretty pumped up about that. So I'm just going to talk today, just carrying on that wave that Cal set for us on Friday. He shared a message about the cross, this awesome message. There's a big wave coming in, and I'm just going to surf that and maybe do a bit of a cool trick. I'm just going to carry on from what is Friday and what comes after. And for me, you know, it's been pretty significant, you know, what the cross represents just in my own life. I remember very clearly what my life was like before I met God. It was a time of being very broken, of being very lost, of lots of lies, and just really that feeling, that absence of hope, you know, that hopelessness, and that really not seeing a way out of my situation. That was very real for me. And so as you can imagine, living in this darkness, and then coming to, you know, the cross and what it represents, it's kind of a big deal, right? It's a really big deal. It's not something to take and treat as light. It's not just something that, you know, we kind of do and tick the box and then get out of here. I think it's really important that we actually pause and think about, what does the cross represent? You know, where do we go from here? What comes after the cross? And so that's kind of what my message is going to be about. I want to talk about, Cal talked about in light of the cross, and I want to talk about what does the cross mean for us as we move forward. And I think I wouldn't be doing, you know, Easter Sunday service without, you know, reading the story. So we're going to start with John chapter 20. If you want to pull out your Bible, we'll kind of go through the story, and then we'll just take it from there. So just get out your Bibles, and we'll get into it. All right, we all there? Ready to go? All right, this is called the empty tomb, right? So early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been moved from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I think Peter was short. I don't know. He's just not a very fast runner. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So just kind of think about what's going on in this moment. You know, they spend like 3 years with Jesus, right? They've got to know him, and they've got to this place where they have an intimate relationship with him. Like, they really know who Jesus is. And they've been learning from him, getting their hopes up in him that he's the Messiah. They know who he is. And They don't understand what Jesus has to go through, right? He's telling them about, I'm about to go be crucified, I'm going to die and be raised again. And every time he brings it up, they go, what does he mean by that? They didn't quite understand what Jesus had to go through. So can you just imagine their surprise when they're in the garden and Jesus doesn't run, right? He doesn't flee. He actually lays down his life and he goes through this cross, right? He goes through everything that happened, all the torturing, all the beating, all the mocking and the crucifixion, right? So that they see this happening, right? They see this with Jesus and they see him on the cross. And they see him crucified. Like that image is burned in their hearts and mind. And so I don't find it too hard to understand why they really had no belief in the resurrection while they were so surprised. Like Christ was crucified in their hearts and mind. And even when he brought it up and tried to teach them, they still didn't understand. They didn't quite believe. And I kind of want to pause on that for a moment and explain just why it's so important to believe and how faith works in all of this. Because you can have the story right, you can know the story, but unless you actually put faith in the story and what it represents, it's kind of wasted, right? It's just an interesting story and doesn't impact your life. And so the struggle that we have here isn't to really completely live out a perfect life from this place. The struggle that we have to deal with is actually believing in it above our other experience, right? So they've seen Christ crucified. That's a very real experience they can see and understand. But they need to elevate the Word of God above what they can see and actually believe in what that represents. So for me, what that means is when I look at my life and I look at where I've been and my past of all my mistakes, you know, I can put my faith in that. Or I can put my faith in what Jesus Christ has done for me on my behalf and believe in that, right? So faith is the struggle that we have to work through and we have to get our hearts around, right? So we've got to believe in the work of Jesus Christ. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw the two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" You know, a bit of a classic Jesus moment. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. I love here that it says, "I am going to my Father and to your Father, to your God," so to my God and to your God. So one of the first statements, the cross, what it says to me is this message of reconciliation, right? That we've actually been restored back to the Father. So over the Bible, you have this narrative, right? When we're in the garden, right? And sin enters the world and we fall from our state, our Jesus state, or our image of Christ or image of God, right? We fall from that and take on a different nature, the image of Satan, of selfishness, right? We fall from love and we fall into selfishness. And throughout the Bible, you hear all these promises about how the Father's going to restore all things and make all things new and reconcile us back to being in the garden. And the cross is saying to us that through his blood and through the work of Jesus Christ, that reconciliation has come. And so the first statement that I get from the cross is about who I am in Christ and how I've been reconciled back to the Father. You know, in my old life, I was very much not one with the Father. I was very much going on my own way. And I had this whole identity that was separate from Him. And I lived in that space, separate from the Father. And it was like my sin caused me to be so far from Him. And I couldn't even talk to Him. In fact, when I actually approached the cross, I was reminded of how sinful and how broken and how undeserving I was, right? I didn't have a clear conscience. I didn't see the work of the cross as it actually was. And I actually moved away. But through the message of reconciliation, seeing that my sin had been atoned for, I now know in my heart that I have the right to approach the Father, that I can actually walk into His presence and have a personal relationship with Him. Like we all know, right, that the cross took away the barrier that separated us from Him. But we can hear that and we can understand that, but it's another thing to actually believe it and live it out. So when I look at the cross, right, I'm seeing that His body was torn open, right? And now I have a way to walk into the presence of God. You know, Ephesians talks about how, you know, we were once strangers, how we had nothing really in common with God, you know, in terms of nature, right? But He's taken away that barrier, taken away that dividing wall, and He's made a way for us to approach Him, not as sinful people, but as righteous children of God. And I remember this one time, right, where God was really speaking to me and He was saying to me, yeah, you know you're forgiven, but you're still not really approaching me. You're still not drawing close to me. You're not coming as close as I want you to be. It's like I was walking in the room, but sitting at the back of the room. You know what I mean? But God's calling us forward. We've got to understand in our hearts that the barrier has been completely removed, that there is nothing separating you from the Father. So take that message. Well, I'm taking that message. You guys can do whatever you want. It's fine. You're on your journey. But for me personally, I'm taking that man and I'm going to go sit on his lap. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to get intimate with the Father. I'm going to really embrace this thing and get to know His heart, because that's the place that I deserve. I'm no longer a foreigner. I'm not a stranger. I belong in the house of God. You know what I mean? You need to get that. And you actually need to enter in and get in there fervently and not let anything keep you out. Because natural knowledge, your past experience, all those things, if you listen to that, you're not going to approach the Father. So you've got to elevate the cross above everything else, guys. You've got to put your faith in that, not what your works deserve. Because if we're listening to our works, then yeah, we're not allowed in. Because our works haven't been good. But we're entering through the cross, right? Through His body that's been opened up. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I'm just getting started, guys. Let's have a look here. Okay. Another statement that the cross represents for me is the one of forgiveness. And I think about my favorite scripture in John 13, where it says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And it's great that we look at the cross and we think about how forgiven we are. That's great. We need that, guys. That's a big part of the message. But Jesus is saying that as I have forgiven you, so you must forgive one another. And if you, this is going to sound like a pretty heavy statement, and it is actually. The true understanding of forgiveness is not when we're able to receive it, that's part of it. But to truly understand forgiveness, to truly receive forgiveness from the Father, is to take that and then express it to the people around us. Like that truly is an understanding of the grace of God. And so when I look at the cross and I see that as Jesus has loved me, as He has forgiven me, as He has laid down my life and forgiven me when I was at my worst, to truly understand that and live that out is to forgive other people when they truly do not deserve it. And I really think that should be the heart of how we respond to the cross. It's to love one another the same way that Jesus Christ has loved us. So let's dig into that a little bit. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're just going to look at a few scriptures. So if you'll bring up that. When I first got saved, I lived in Ephesians chapter 2. I would read it over, and I reckon about 100 times. I'm not exaggerating. I just could not believe that this was in the Bible, that it would say this. And it's talking about, the heading is, made alive in Christ, right? So it's the resurrection. We're made alive in Christ. So are we all there? We're good? All right. So as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, right? So that's where I was before I met Christ. That image is very real for me. I am very much aware of my need for God. I was living in a place that I did not want to be. I was in that place, right? In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So there was once a time, right, when I lived under a spirit of disobedience, right? Which I believe is Satan. I think that's what it's referring to there. Right? I lived in this darkness. That's the place that I was. We need to actually get this part right before we read the next scripture. Right? This is where I was. I wasn't living a good life. Right? I wasn't living a life that went, Jesus went, wow, he finally deserves it. Now I'm going to go down to the earth and save him. Right? I was dead in my sin. I was doing nothing good. I did nothing to deserve Christ. Right? It's a really important point. All of us also among them at one time gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Come on. It doesn't say that we're deserving of mercy, you know. We weren't deserving of anything good, right? We need to get that, right? We need to understand this, because if we understand that we truly did not deserve it, then we can see clearly the love of God. Right? His love is just put on display, and we can see that he loves us when we know that we truly didn't deserve it. Right? When we did not deserve it, well, actually what we deserve is wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Right? When we were dead in our transgressions, he loved us. He loved you on your worst day. When you deserve nothing, he had mercy for you. He's always looked on you with love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness, right? I hear a lot of time people say, why would Jesus do this for me? And I get a little bit frustrated at that question, because for me, it's so plain, so clear. It's not a mystery to me why God would come into the world and forgive me. The reason is because you were a son and a daughter from the beginning. And isn't that what fathers do? You've got kids there. Wouldn't you die for them? Is it really a mystery that the Father in our heaven would love us and come into the earth to redeem us? He didn't die for you because you're some stranger on the street. He was like, oh, I better do something about this. No, he did it because he loves you. He's always loved you. Even when you were dead in your sin, he's always been your Father. He's always been your Father. He's always loved you. It is by grace that you have been saved. This is the grace of God, to love someone and forgive someone who does not deserve it. And if you truly want to understand the gospel, if you truly want to understand what Easter's all about, yeah, it's about receiving, absolutely. But then there comes the next step of sharing with the people around you. And I know, guys, in your lives, there are people that just simply don't deserve, right, your love and mercy. But if we're going to actually respond to the gospel and really allow it into our hearts, if you can't forgive them, have you really understood forgiveness? It's not just about that. It actually says in John that anyone you forgive, I will forgive. He breathes the Spirit on them and he says, whoever you forgive, I also will forgive. And for me, what does that say for me? It says that I can show people the gospel. I can show people the love of God by forgiving them when they're at their worst. I'm actually showing them the love of God. And I actually imagine in my mind, right, because there are people who are just so close to the gospel, they will not hear the gospel, they don't want anything to do with it. But when you love them and you forgive them when they don't deserve it, man, you're preaching right to their heart. You actually have an opportunity to speak the word of God into their life without quoting any scriptures. You can just live it. So it's one thing to receive forgiveness, but we've also got to share it with the people around us. That's how you preach to people. That's how you show them the love of God. It's not by quoting a scripture. They're just going to shut their hearts off from it. But to love them and forgive them when they don't deserve it, that's the power of God. Right? Now, why did God do this? Right? And God raised us up.
come on. with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So what's your position right now? You're in Christ. You're with Christ. So that's the second statement that I get from the cross. It's my identity. It's who I am now. And beforehand, I had an identity that was, it was not one that I wanted. I get real a little bit here. I used to actually go to the mirror and just look at myself in disgust. I used to just look at myself and be like, you're filthy, you're perverted, you're disgusting, you are unlovable, you are broken. And I used to just look at that, and that used to be my truth. I really believed it. And I would speak that, not every day, I had moments though, and I would speak that over my life. But now that I look at the cross, I see who Christ has made me into. You know, I actually love myself now. And I'm not being prideful. I actually genuinely love who I am. And I actually thank God every day for who I am. That's a big deal for me to say that. I'm looking at the cross and I'm seeing who I am because he's revealing truth about me. He's showing me who I am. He's showing me that I'm deserving of love. He's showing me that I'm deserving of being forgiven. He's showing me. You see, if I pay $200 for this phone, how much does this phone cost? $200. If I pay $50 for this Bible, how much is this Bible worth? $50. If Jesus pays the blood of Christ for me, how much am I worth? I'm worth the blood. I'm worth the sacrifice. He went through all of that. He paid a high price because I have a high value. It's not prideful, guys. It's just truth. I'm a child of God. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm righteous. I'm a member of his household. Truth is being revealed. I'm now seated with God in high heavenly places. And to think otherwise is actually to believe a lie. It's false humility to walk around going, I'm just a broken sinner. Not anymore. You've been forgiven. You've been reconciled. The cross has actually shown you this, right? And to not believe it is to call God a liar. It actually says that in 1 John chapter 4, or maybe it's chapter 3. It's in there. It's to call God a liar. But if you want to agree with God and believe in him, then you've got to start looking at yourself as righteous. And I know that, like I said at the beginning, right, it's the battle because we have all of our history, right? We've got all of our past acts and we can look at that and find our identity in that. But what we're doing right now is looking at the cross and going, the ambulance is here. Oh, okay. Yep. No worries. Keep going. Just keep going. I've never had that happen before. Was it my message? Was it too strong? Yeah, okay, all right. It's good to laugh when the ambulance comes in. That's perfectly normal. All right. Okie dokie. Let's stay on track. Let's not get distracted. Okay. Verse 7. In order, right? In order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace. He might show his incomparable riches in his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by his grace you have been saved through faith. Now, I know if you come here with Cal, you know what that means, to do it through faith and not by works, right? You don't receive any forgiveness through your works. It's just by receiving the atonement of Christ. I'm not going to get into that because I want to go to another point in the last few minutes that I have. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And verse 10, this is the one that I want to focus on, right? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So another thing that the cross shows me is now my purpose. Beforehand, I didn't really have a mission. I had no direction, nothing that was meaningful, nothing that's going to last for eternity. But now, because of who I am in Christ, because I've now been reconciled to the Father, I've now been given a purpose, a really important task, right? And this is how God's been showing it to me. He's been showing me that I've gone from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. right? That I am now a tree of righteousness, rooted and established in love, with the fruits of the Holy Spirit coming over me and rivers of water flowing out of me. That I am now the light of this earth, right? And that he's making his appeal through me. And so what I'm trying to allude here is that the cross actually gives us purpose, and that God is making his appeal to the rest of the world through us. That God has prepared you for works, right? God's handiwork. You are God's handiwork. You are now the ones that represent the church. And if we're actually going to really dig into this cross and to what it means, he's saying to us, go out and make disciples of every nation. Go out there and share who you are in Christ. Go out and live this life and draw all people to me, that they may also receive what I have done, that they also may believe and be saved. So we're not taking this, right, and hiding it under the bed. We're not taking this and hiding as Christians. We're no longer living in fear of what the world believes and what the world thinks of us. We're now living under the opinion of Christ, under what he says about us. And we're living under the fear of the Lord, which is to honor him and respect him. And if we live according to him, we're going to have a sense of confidence and boldness to live out our faith and not be shy about who we are. And as we do that, there's going to be a light coming out from us. And those who are in dark, like I was, right? People who were once lost and dead in their sins are going to see the light that's been expressed through your heart and your life. And God's going to draw people. I keep looking at Cal. He's just looking at me and smile. Stop smiling. You're distracting me. Sorry. People are going to look at you and the life that you have, like Cal. Cal, smile. And to be drawn to this thing, right? Because it's real. And they're going to be saved through you, through living out this life. People need this message, guys. As much as they reject it, deep down, they need it. And so my encouragement to you is really get your identity in Christ. Get your purpose in Christ. Believe this thing above your natural knowledge, above your own past. Put this above all else. Go out there and forgive people. You know, become a tree of righteousness, or believe that you are a tree of righteousness. Produce the fruits of the Spirit and draw all people to Christ. And I want to close. We're going to do communion. Don't hand it out just yet. I want to talk about it a little bit first. I was watching The Passion the other night on Friday with a few other people. We spent some time in Scripture and we spent some time in prayer. And there's one moment where Jesus says, I make all things new. And to me, that just hit me, that I make all things new. And you've got to understand that the cross has made all things new, that life of darkness is completely set off from you. And now you have a life of living with God and intimacy with him, right? There is a journey that is exciting, that is full of life, and it's just amazing, right? But that's all wasted if we don't have faith. And so I'm going to go to Hebrews 10, and Cal can hand out elements, and then we'll do communion together. The verse that I'm going to read is from verse 19. Chapter 10, verse 19. And I don't know, if you wanted to go home and just like meditate on some scripture, this is a great place to be, guys. It starts with therefore, meaning, you know, this is the tip of the iceberg of the last few scriptures. Says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. We've got confidence now, guys. We're not walking and approaching him going, Father, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for this. We're approaching God saying, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you that I'm righteous. Enter into the presence of God with confidence, not feeling sorry and guilty and ashamed, but actually going to him believing, thank you, Father, that I'm righteous, thank you that I'm holy. Thank you that I'm a child of God. Thank you the Spirit of God lives in me. We don't approach God with a lack of confidence. We approach him with confidence, guys. Why? Because of faith. Because of faith. The most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Why? Because the blood of Christ has washed everything and made everything new. You've been completely washed. You've been purified. You're now whiter than snow. You're You know, that snow has one little speckle of dust in the whole thing, and the rest is just ice, white. That speckle of dust has been removed. Now it's just white. It's just clean. You're purified by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. There was a curtain, guys. There was a barrier that kept us out of the presence of God, right? It's now been torn open by his body. The entry is made available. It's to enter in, right? That's the message, enter in. Understand that it's been paid for, that unless you have holes in your hands and feet, you will never pay for your sin. It was put on someone else, and his holes are still there. He showed up Thomas, and they weren't healed. The marks are still there, guys. It was paid for. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ, is interceding for us, guys. He's saying to us, enter in, come in, come inside, believe the gospel, believe you're forgiven, believe who you are in Christ, know who you are, enter in, come and approach me. I love you, I want a relationship with you, I died so you could come in. He's saying, come and approach me, come have a life with me, guys. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Full assurance. We're not doubting. We're not going, oh, do I really deserve? No, no, no. You're absolutely in. But you've got to be rock solid on this. You've got to know who you are. You've got to believe the gospel. Know who you are in Christ. Having our heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. So once we had a guilty conscience, we're walking around going, I'm unrighteous. I'm undeserving. I'm filthy, I'm broken. But that's been washed away by the blood. What are we thinking now? We've got a righteous conscience going, I'm a child of God. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm in. I'm a child of God. I have value. We're going from one conscience to another, a righteous conscience. It's not prideful. It's the gospel. And having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. All right. So they're all handed out. We're all good? Almost there? All right. No worries. So what we're doing right now, when we do communion, we're actually falling into agreement with God. We're going, Father, I agree with you. I believe the gospel. I accept this thing. I agree that I am now righteous by the blood. I agree that your body took the full measure of God's wrath, that it was all put on you. I have this image in my mind, right, where Jesus is going through the torturing and the beating. I imagine God standing over his son who's being whipped and hit, and you know, it says in Isaiah that God was pleased to put it on him. And I imagine God leaning down to Jesus and going, how you doing, my son? Are you hanging in there? And I just imagine Jesus saying, put it all on me. Put it all on me. Don't let anything be on Alex. Put it all on me. And then God going, that a boy. And straightening up and saying, hit him again. Hit him again. Put it all on him. Put it all on him. Jesus looked at the cross and he says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. But it also says in the Gospels that if you can take this from me, let it take it from me. So Jesus didn't want to go through the cross, right? He was excited about the beatings and the crucifixion, but he still saw joy. Why did he see joy? Because he saw on the other side of this thing, my people would be free if they believe, if they fall into agreement. That's what we're doing right now with communion. We're actually stepping into agreement and going, Father, I accept this. I believe in it. I am cleansed. I am righteous. I'm a new creation. I have a purpose now. And now we're actually agreeing with it and saying yes and amen. So let's do that together. Let's take the bread. And just make it personal, guys. I really want you to make it personal. You already ate it. That's all good. No worries. We'll take it in a moment, though. So just 30 seconds. We're agreeing that it was all put on him. That he put this for you. I want you to make it personal. I want you to acknowledge that it was put on you and you will never go through it. You will never go through it. It was put on him. So make it personal, guys. And just take the body. And then we've got the blood, right? The precious blood of Christ that takes away the sins of man. Just acknowledge, guys, I really want you to feel in your hearts that your blood's been washed by, your sins have been washed by the blood, that you are now clean. Let this wash over your conscience. Get rid of that filthy conscience, right, saying I'm a sinner, and have the conscience, I'm now righteous by faith, not according to what I've done, but according to the blood. It's been atoned for. Make it personal, guys, and just receive the precious, precious blood that makes all things new. Awesome. All right. I'm going to close in prayer. And someone will do something. I'm not sure what the plan is. But yeah, cool. Just bow your heads, guys, and I'm just going to spend a moment in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you so much, Lord God, for this cross. And I just make it my own, Lord, that I died in your death and I have been raised together, raised again in your resurrection, Father. That I have died to sin that I might live for righteousness, Lord. I want to pray, Father, thanking you for the Holy Spirit that is now living inside of me, that is stirring me up into love, into forgiveness, into holiness, Father. I want to pray, Lord God, that we would just have a moment of faith, elevating the work of God above our past, above what seems right, Father. I want to pray, Lord God, that we would just lift the cross above everything that might come up against us, Lord. I want to pray, Father, that there would be now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That weight of sin, that weight of brokenness, Father, would just be cut off us, Lord. That we would release it and lay it down at your feet right now, Lord. And that we would truly know in our hearts that we are made right with the Father, that we stand before you as precious, beloved children of God. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death, that we are now under the grace of God and we are empowered to live a holy life, Father. But before we start talking about that, Lord, let us get our identity planted in the cross. Help us to know who we are, Father, that we're righteous before we do any works, Lord. I pray, Father, you would continue to minister to us today, Father, that you would help us to love and forgive other people as you have loved and forgiven us, Lord. Help us to share the gospel in the way that we live. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Cool. Thanks, guys.